I'm glad he's in control this morning, isn't he? That's beautifully done. I appreciate that. What a blessing it is. Take your Bibles, if you would, turn to the book of Romans. Romans chapter number 5, verse number 19, one verse I'm going to share with you this morning, and then bring a message I hope being encouraged to you. The title of my message is Obedience. I think important to understand that that word is a great word, obey, obedience. But then there's the word disobey and disobedience, and we'll deal with that too. But the most important thing in our Christian life is the matter of obedience. I'm grateful to be able to come to the house of God, to hear the word of God and hear the laws of God and understand what God wants me to do and what I need to do. But it doesn't do any good if I come and hear and don't do it. The Bible said, be ye doers of the word, not hearers only. In order to be doers of the word, we must be obedient to the things of God. This is quite a verse in verse 19. I want you to listen to it, so I share it with you this morning. I'll probably read it a couple of times because I want it to sink in. For it is by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. I think you can figure that out. So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. I believe you can figure that out. Our Father, Lord, we thank you today for the opportunity and the privilege we have to come together this morning. Lord, we just thank you for your blessings. And Lord, we thank you today that you are in control. Lord, I'm grateful to know today that I'm in your hands. And Lord, I'm grateful to know today that you'll guide and direct me in the way that you'd have me to go. You'll watch over and protect me. And Lord, I entrust my entire life to you. I thank you for those that are here. Thank you, Lord, for those who have been faithful in these days. And I pray that you'd continue to help us as we try to get the church back to where it needs to be. And Lord, I look forward not only to the church being back where it needs to be, but Lord, I look forward to a grand reunion one day with the Lord Jesus Christ. I ask now that you would guide and direct. Give us wisdom, strength, and help. May your name be exalted, lifted up, and glorified. And Father, we'll thank you now for what you do and what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, we ask and pray. Amen. I was kind of amazed as I began to search through the Bible at the word obey or obedience. You'll find that word in the Bible many times. I thought when I started getting the message together, I said, well, this is kind of a simple thought. But listen, it's a lot deeper than we think it is or try to understand what it is. Obedience is ultimately the very backbone of our Christian faith in what we do. And again, it's so many that I see today that live a life to where they're not obedient to the Lord and to the commands of God and the things of God, and they go their own direction. But you know, obedience plays a part in many people's lives. It plays a part in the matter of salvation, and I'll be talking about that in a minute, those who are saved. It plays a part in the life of a sinner. He has to be obedient, and I'll talk about that also. But again, I want to think about this morning the matter of obedience in the life of the child of God. There's nothing any greater than for a child to be obedient to their parents. It's hard to see a child in a grocery store talking back to a parent or acting like, or not acting like, but being basically in control of the situation rather than the parent being in control of the situation. And I tell you today, we live in a society where they say, you know, don't get on them, don't say nothing to them. They, you know, they're expressing themselves, and I don't know what all the things they use, but really what it boils down to is either you're obedient or you're disobedient. And if you're disobedient, you need to be punished for that disobedience in order that it might make you be obedient in the life that you live. My dad was a very strict dad, and he believed in obedience. And again, I can't say that I was always obedient, but if I wasn't, he always reminded me that I needed to be in very, very many ways. But today I want to talk to you about this subject, and again, the verse that we read this morning, for it's by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. And we know who that is. That's Adam in the Garden of Eden. It all started. The Bible said in Psalm 51, verse 5, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Every one of us is born into this world a sinner, and Adam, of course, is the reason for that, as they sinned, he and Eve sinned in the garden. Then he said, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. And truly, when I think of that, I think of the precious Lord Jesus Christ, who went to the cross of Calvary, bled and died, gave his life for you and me in order that we might have salvation. I'm glad today that I hope have a hope in heaven. I'm glad to know today that this life is just temporary. I'm just passing through. And one day I'm going to be on the glorious side with my Lord and Savior forever and forever. Now, yes, I'd prefer to go by the way of the rapture. But however I go, I know there's a place prepared for me. And again, we think But understand, when we stand before God, even if we get to heaven, if we have unconfessed sin, and if we continue to disobey God, number one, I'm not getting into all that this morning. There's chastisement and all of that. But friend, I believe we'll answer to God for the things we have done and have not done. The first thing I want you to notice this morning is the obedience and salvation. Disobedience brought sin into the human race. That's the reason we need salvation in the first place. No man, woman, boy, or girl would have ever needed to be saved if we would have continued to live in the perfect world, in the perfect garden that God had created for Adam and Eve. However, we find that even though God created them, they had the idea that they might go a step further, and they disobeyed God. The Bible said in Genesis chapter 2, verse 15 through 17, "And the Lord God took the man, and he put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat." Now, that's a pretty good proposition. He said, here you are in the garden. You're there to dress it and keep it. And you're free to eat anything in the garden. But then verse 17 said, "But the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. From the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." You would think that if you were offered all the trees in the garden and could take your pick, that's what you'd stick with. But there was something alluring about the tree that he said, don't. You know, it's kind of like, you know, I hear people say, I use reverse psychology. Sometimes, you know, you can tell a kid they can do something, and then they don't want to do it anymore. But if you tell them they can't do it, then they pitch a fit because they can't do it, and they get aggravated by it. Here's what happened, Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 through 7. "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden." And at this point, she's telling the truth. He did say that. "But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, ye shall not eat it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die." She had it right. She knew what God said. But there was some influence that came from in the next verse. And the Bible said, "And the serpent said unto the woman," we know the serpent being the devil, "ye shall not surely die." Friend, when God tells you something, you better listen to what he says. I don't care what a preacher says. If God didn't say it, you better just go back to what God said instead of listening to what some preacher or somebody might tell on television. By the way, there's a lot of that mess going on today. Preachers telling you what they think you want to hear to make you feel better. But friend, I'm being honest with you. We better face the reality of the truth of the Word of God. He said, if you eat of the fruit of the tree of knowledge, good and evil, he said you should surely die. You will, because God said it. And when the woman saw him, well, then he goes on to say, and the reason, for God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be gods, knowing good and evil. Boy, he sold the line, didn't he? He said, man, listen, God's just trying to play on you. He don't want you to have the knowledge. He don't want you to have it because you'd become a god yourself. Eve listens, and the Bible said, and when the woman saw the tree was good for food, she didn't see the tree was good for food. She saw that it was good because the devil said it was good. When she saw the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave unto also her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them were both opened, and they knew that they were naked. They sewed fig leaves together, and they made themselves aprons. That's the day they became ashamed of themselves because they disobeyed God. What happened is the eye gate saw something beautiful, something good, and they could not resist. Something tempting. I tell you today, honestly, most any of us would, unless God told us not to, of course, I hope. But if somebody come out today and we believed it, and they said, we've got a pill, that would, in fact, they've got pills now that's supposed to help your memory. And I don't know, I hadn't tried any, I probably need to, but they talk about it helping your memory. But somebody come up with a pill today and said, now, here's this pill, and it'll give you all the knowledge you know. You'll know everything. Listen, I believe people be rushing to the store to get it. But friend, if God told us that was something we better leave alone, then you better leave alone. Because number one, he was lying. You see, Adam and Eve was in a state of innocence. They literally, as they came into this world, they were the first people that ever lived. And they wasn't born like you and I was. They was created by God. And yet, in their innocence, their righteousness had to be tested. God had to see where they stood and what they would do. And Adam failed and became unrighteous because they partook of the tree and they ate the one that God told them not to. And so as a result of that, everything that we do in this life, everything we preach and everything we stand on and believe, all stems from the fact of Adam and Eve in the garden sinning against God. There would have been no need for Calvary. There would have been no need for suffering of Christ on the cross had not they partaken of the fruit. But they did. And so when they did, the Bible said in verse 19, "So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous." I'm grateful today that the obedience of Christ made it possible today that in spite of their sin that's passed on to us, we all have become sinners. In spite of it all, we've got the righteousness of God that covers us when we confess our sins and ask Him to come into our heart and save us. The Bible said in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5 through 9, "Wherefore, when He cometh into the world, He saith, sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God." Above when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offering and offerings for sin, thou wouldest not, neither hast pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I am come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. The obedience of Christ literally led to his death. The Bible said in Philippians chapter 5, verse 8, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in a fashion as man, he humbled himself and became obedient. Obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." In other words, for sin's price to be paid, death had to happen. We know today that there was none that was worthy to die that death except the Lord Jesus Christ. He was without sin. The Bible said in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." I love that verse. I love it because it tells us what the requirement for sin is. It's death. But it also tells us that it's a gift of God. And a gift is something that we can't buy. It's something we can't pay for. It's something that is given to us as a gift, but we do have to receive it. And that's what will lead me to my next point today, understanding the importance of obedience and salvation. Then second of all, obedience and the sinner. He said, now, why should a sinner obey? He's not living for God or doing anything, but in order for him to be saved, he must be obedient. I wish today that I could raise my hand over crowds of thousands of people. I don't know where I'd get them, but if I could find them, I wish I could raise my hand and say, you know, pray for you and you'd be saved and go to heaven. But that's not the way God intended it, and that's not the way he planned it, and that's not the way it happens. That's why I'm very careful. I try to be. I want everybody to be saved, but I don't want to make it. I don't want to sound like that. It's so. And it is simple. Don't misunderstand me. But I don't want us to get to the point to where the simplicity of salvation makes us neglect what we have to do to be obedient to what Christ has commanded us to do. Because the fact of it is today, a sinner, I don't care. You can sit and listen to me preach or anybody else preach all your life. But if you never submit and obey and answer the call of God, you'll die in your sin, lost, and on your way to hell, irregardless of what you do. The Bible said in Hebrews 5, 8, and 9, "Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him." Yeah, I think obedience has something to do with salvation, don't you? Somebody said, oh, it don't matter. God knows who's going to heaven, who's not going to heaven, and he's going to choose. No, God don't choose. God died. He sent his son Jesus to die in order that you could choose. And he said, whosoever should call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He said in Romans 6, 17 and 18, but God be thanked that ye were servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you, being made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. Thank God when a person gets born again, they obey the word of God, they obey the call of God, the heat of God, and they do what he said, and they become a servant of righteousness, and they depart from the unrighteousness. What are God's demands upon a lost man? What is it? Well, in spite of what some people are telling you to do, it still centers around one word I can think of, and it's called repent. There's a lot of people today not preaching repentance, and I think there's been a lot of people that's prayed the sinner's prayer. I'm not judging. I don't know who does and who don't, but I believe there's been a lot of people that's prayed the sinner's prayer, but yet it was coming from here. It wasn't coming from here. And I believe there's going to be a lot of people shocked when the Lord comes back. I believe there's going to be a lot of people shocked when they pass away or whatever, because absent from the body for a child of God is to be present with the Lord. And if you haven't repented, you won't be there. The Bible said in Luke 13, 3, I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. In other words, you better obey me. If you want to be saved and go to heaven, you must repent of your sin. The Bible said in Acts 17, 30 and 31, and the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. So that's a good word. Just remember that word. If you're talking to somebody and they're telling you how they got saved, if they don't mention anything about repenting, you might want to share with them a little bit about what the Bible said. It's not saying, and I've said this a thousand times, and you've heard of it. You may get tired of hearing it, but as long as I'm your preacher, you're going to keep hearing it. It's not signing a card. It's not getting in the baptistry waters. It's not joining a church. It's not even going to church. It's coming to a point in your life of obeying God, repenting of your sins, turning from those sins, unrighteousness to righteousness. The second word I like is called believe. Believe. In other words, in order to get saved, you must believe that he is. Believe that God exists. The Bible said in John 3, 18, he that believeth on him, now listen, he that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not on him is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. I don't know how you figure, but here's what I figure. You're not condemned if you've believed. But if you've never believed, you're condemned. You're born in this world a sinner. Friend, there's nothing changed that. You didn't do anything to become a sinner. I tell you today, we see sinners everywhere, don't we? We see people doing things that are crazy, but yet the Bible says, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Romans 3, 21 and 22, but the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. In verse 22, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all of them that believe, there is no difference. Let me read that again. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. Acts 20, 21, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. Man simply must be obedient to God to avoid the wrath of hell. I think today people don't understand that. Last week I talked about striving against God. But there's another verse that comes to my mind that's an alternative to striving to God. It's found in Isaiah 1, verse 18. It says, come now, let us reason together. Saith the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat of the good land. But if you refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Greatest invitation of the... You know, the Bible's full of invitations. And I like that invitation. Here's a lost man. He's rejected Christ. He's turned his back on it. He's turned away from it. And Jesus says, come, come. Let us reason together. Now, is it to come and reason your ideas and your philosophies? No. It's to come and reason what God's Word says. And by the way, I believe in order for a person to be saved, they must be shared the Word of God. I don't believe you have to have a physical copy in your hand. I believe the people that's hearing it must believe that it is true. But you can have it hidden in your heart and share it with them. But